I'm the president of Brehon Bible Institute, and many of you know that. And we are in Slinger, Wisconsin, and we are continuing to work at selling our property there and moving. We want to stay in the Washington County area, but we are in that process. We are also looking for a part-time administrative assistant, and you can pray for us along those lines as well. I'm thankful this morning, most of all, because God is faithful. And I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 2. This is not a Christmas message, but it is a message that I would like to take at least a portion of what we would call a part of the Christmas story and use it as an introduction to where I'm going this morning. And I'm going to read this passage to you. Everyone knows the passage. You can follow along if you'd like. Matthew chapter 2. There are quite a few verses, but I would like to read them all. And just if you don't want to follow, just listen. Verse 7. So I'm going to read a little bit here. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, and when it came, it stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, fell down and worshipped him, and they opened their treasures, and they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed and went to their own country another way. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all male children who were in Bethlehem and all the districts, its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then it was fulfilled that was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted, because they are no more." Now, when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead." Then he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. And when he heard that that Archelaus was ruling or reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, that it may be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, "He shall be called a Nazarene." Now, everybody, raise your hand if you've heard that story before. All right. Probably you have. I know things are a little wacky right now with the way things are going in our country, society, and all the things that are going on. But chances are in the last week or two you've heard that, and you've thought about the kings. You've maybe seen a manger scene outside of a church or a building of some sort. And it brings us back to this setting. And in our minds right now, you're thinking of the wise men scene and all that went on there. And it's an interesting setting and an interesting account. But one of the things that I think we wrestle with when we read Scripture is, number one, I think when we read Scripture, we read through it and we don't think about it. Or we tend to not think about it. And we just go on to the next thing. Or we pick something out and we kind of, I'll say the word fixate, but we kind of just think about that. And it might be a manger scene in this case. But the point that I want to bring by way of introduction this morning is this. What type of climate in the world was going on when Jesus was born? Sometimes we look back and it's like a fairy tale. Oh, you know, and there here are these wise men and they're, and it's a beautiful thing and they give, and it is. But yet when you step back and you read what I just read, you read words like flee to Egypt. You read words like take him to Egypt because Herod wants to destroy him. You read words like Herod killed all of the children 2 years old and under in Bethlehem and the surrounding areas. And then you find in Egypt that he goes back to Israel, but he can't go to Judah. He's warned by God, go to Nazareth. The climate that we find in this passage that we hear about every year this time of the year is not good. It's not peaceful. It's not if you take away the incarnation and that what we focus on, and we should, and you look at the climate that's around it, it's tough. You think of a young pregnant virgin trying to, I mean, an angel comes to Joseph and says, she's pregnant of the Holy Spirit. That's hard to swallow. And then, not only that, it's the family. Because she's up there and her family has to know about it too. There's a whole lot of things, a whole number of things going on, different layers in this story. Then you have to travel on a donkey 75 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. You don't do that in one day, and who wants to ride a donkey that far? No one. So there are a lot of different intricacies, if you step back from the text and you think about it, were going on. Now, here's why what I want to draw from that is way of introduction. I know you're ready for me to pray and be done, but the world of Christ's birth was a world or time of great difficulty. And yet, God was working in and through it. And it's interesting because I thought about this, and you may prove me wrong, but I'll say it. If you take the whole Bible and you take every main story of Scripture, you will find that it was a time of difficulty where God was working. You just think about it. Moses' birth. Pharaoh, let's kill the babies. Put him in a basket. Moses goes down the river. He's found. See, the climate of that society was very difficult. And now I come to today. 2021. I may have shared this with you. I saw this on Facebook. And you can believe everything you read. I know, I'm just kidding. But I thought it was funny. In fact, I shared. I don't share a lot of stuff. And just to kind of show you my sense of humor. There was a cartoon of these two little kids looking up the street because they heard the ice cream truck coming down the road. Anybody ever been to an ice cream truck coming down the road? Okay. And you get excited and you want a quarter, okay, a dollar from your mom, whatever, you know, because inflation. And in this, it's a Far Side comic book or something like that. And these kids are looking and they're looking. And on the side of the truck, it says liver and onions. And I love that because that the person wrote, this is what 2020 looks like. I will agree. But here comes 2021. Okay, 2021. It's going to be better. It's going to be better. It may not be better. It may not be. I don't know. I didn't know this was coming. It may not be better. It may be tougher. We don't know that. What we do know is our hope is not in world government. Our hope is not in Washington, no matter who's in charge. Our hope is not in the economy. Our hope is not in our jobs. Our hope is not even in our health. There's so many that we know that are struggling. So many people were mentioned this morning. So others that we didn't mention that we know that are hurting or struggling and dealing with difficulty and pain and suffering. We all know that. But really, when you look back at this story in Matthew, it's beautiful, but it's painful as well. And I do believe that God was working then. We see it in the incarnation, but I also believe it's not much different today. We live in difficult times. A couple of months ago, I had the opportunity. I was out for a walk and taking a walk and by myself thinking, and I was really struggling. You get that where you get angry or mad or frustrated or confused or just a lot of anxiety. Anybody have anxiety recently? Okay, don't raise your hand. And I'm walking. I know right where I was walking, and I'm praying. And the Lord brought a verse to me. And that's my message this morning. And in doing so, He reminded me of some truth, a truth that I've known. And take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 4. And I started thinking about that, and I started thinking about, you know, as we look at this next year, we are hopeful. And we want better days. We want change. We want things to happen that we don't, you know, we can move on. And it will. Things will change. I don't know how it will change, but it will change. But when I came across this verse, and I'll read them. You know them. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand or near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. When I think about this, I think about the difficulties and trials that we face. And you will face them, and I will face them, but I ask myself the question, how am I supposed to face these difficulties? How am I supposed to face things that are completely out of my control? We have to answer that. We probably will not have an angel warn us if we're going to get COVID or not. Or warn us if they're going to close our business down. But what do we hope in? Where's our focus going to be? And what I'm going to look at this morning in these four points is this. What are some tools that we can use in 2021 or tomorrow or this afternoon to help us keep our eyes on the Lord? When difficulties or trials come, how do I orient myself in such a way that I can live my life with strength, purpose, and hope? Isn't that what we would want? I root for that as opposed to laying in the corner in a fetal position with my finger in my mouth. I vote for that rather than complaining about everything that comes my way that I have no control over. And we are called here in this passage, and Paul is dealing with a bit of disunity in the church at Philippi. And I want to look at it in the sense of, what is my focus? Number one, what's my focus should be? Robert, what is your focus? And he says this. Look what he says. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And it's a command. It's not a suggestion, although we are not made to do it. But rejoice. It's a choice to rejoice. I just made that up. You can quote me. A choice to rejoice, if you will. And what's interesting about rejoice is it carries the idea not of, woo-hoo, we're having fun. That's not rejoice. That's not joy. Rejoice carries the idea of anticipation. Rejoice carries the idea of excitement, of expectation, of discovery. Rejoicing in something carries the idea, even maybe a hint of relief. I'm rejoicing in my Lord because I know He's in control. I know that He has my life in His hand. And I know that He knows when I'm going to die. And I don't. And I trust that He knows and He has a purpose, whatever happens. I can trust in Him. It's interesting because I'm going to go back into this passage, but you don't have to. Go back in Matthew chapter 2, just to show you of an illustration of how this word is used. In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, when they saw the star, it says, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Now that's when they followed the star to Jerusalem, met with Herod, and Herod said, hey, go look for him. And it said they saw the star. And it said when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly. Now you think about that. Put it in your mind. How might that have felt? They had traveled about 800 miles from the east. We don't know exactly, 800 miles. And they traveled over to bring these gifts. They'd seen the star from the east. And they come, and if it was Babylon, they come, and they've traveled. They met with Herod. Herod says, Bethlehem. They see the star again, and they go to Bethlehem. And it says they rejoiced. They were excited. This whole trip was for these gifts to the king. And they rejoiced. Over in Luke chapter 15, and I'll turn there, you don't have to. It's another story. It's the story of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost sheep. In 15:5, it says this. Now this is the one where there are 100 sheep, and one sheep goes off, and the shepherd does what? He leaves the 99, right? And he goes and finds the one. And it says this in verse 5. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. I like what some comedian says. Everybody believes in God when they've lost their kid at the mall. You know, it's like, oh God, where's he at? Where's she at? You know. It said he laid that lamb on his shoulders or over his shoulders and went back rejoicing. That's the same word used here in the Philippians passage. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Can you feel it in those two stories? It's excitement. It's not passive. It's active because God's in charge, because there's some sense of finality. I can go to Him and He's there and He knows more than I do. It's like the little kid that jumps up in his parents' arm and everything's okay. I was trying to think of another illustration. My mom and dad divorced when I was 4, and I went to a Christian school and then went to daycare afterwards. And I was just thinking about how can I illustrate this in my life, remembering seeing my mom's car coming to pick me up. There's a sense of it's okay. It'll be okay because mom's there. And that's what little children think because that's who they have. He says, rejoice in the Lord when things are good. Yes, but he also says, rejoice in the Lord when things are bad. Always. And you know the Greek word for always means always, all the time. Rejoice in the Lord always, at all times. Rejoice. All will be okay in the Lord. And what's beautiful about this is that the promise that if the Lord does take us and we know Him as Savior, we're trusting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says in Corinthians that mortality or death is swallowed up by life. See, we think we're living. And this ain't living compared to what's coming. Paul says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He calls it far better. I don't know what this is, but far better means far better. But Paul brings us back. What is my attitude? I'm coming into 2021. Yes, I would like things better. I would like things smoother. I would like honesty in government. Never mind, you'll never get honesty in government. I would like this to happen and that to happen and this to not happen. But regardless of all of that, he says, put your focus, and this is my focus is on the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. He repeated it twice. And then he goes on, and this is interesting because I've always thought this was kind of weird in this passage, or just different, but really it reminds me of today in my own relationship with the Lord, in my own walk with the Lord, and my own decisions that I make on how I handle the situations we're in. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, let your gentleness be made known to all men. Look what he says here. He's talking about not only my focus is on the Lord, but now he's getting personal. Because he's challenging me in my relationships with other people. And he's talking about people that I may not necessarily agree with. Because just like he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, look what he says here. Let your gentleness be made known to all men. All. My relationships with others on behalf of God. Treat people with gentleness. The word gentleness here is the idea of patience and a kind spirit. And you may never agree, but as far as it depends on you, as Paul says in Romans, be at peace with all men. Sometimes we look at how we disagree with other people so much that we fail to realize what we're doing. And my actions are not honoring to God. And I can't control what you do. I just can't. I can't make you do something. I just can't. But I can make choices for myself. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And then he says, let your gentleness be made known to all men. All men, the Lord is near. Back in Philippians chapter 2, I'll read this in verses 14 and 15. It says this. Kind of echoes it a little bit. He says, do all things without complaining and disputing. No, that's no fun. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. He called it like he saw it. Whom you shine as lights in the world. See, that's it, folks. We're to be salt and light in this world. It's easy to point fingers. It's easy to communicate, to complain, and it's easy to find things that we disagree with, and there are things. But he talks about treating other people with gentleness. It's not just my focus. You know, I could end there and say, focus on the Lord. You know, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I hope you do take that. When things don't go your way next week or this afternoon and you're struggling, and he said, remember that, Lord, rejoice in the Lord always. But he also says, let your gentleness be known to all men because the Lord is near. Now, the idea of the Lord near here or at hand can be two things. It can either be near in time, as in the Lord is coming back soon, or it can be in proximity. I mean, like you're near to her, near, close. Either way could be here because he talks about in Philippians, I'm hedging my bet here, Philippians chapter 3, he says our citizenship is in heaven where we eagerly wait for the Savior. So there's that. He's coming soon. We're eagerly waiting for that. But there's also the idea in the next verse, be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication. He is near in proximity as well. In fact, he is so near, the Holy Spirit indwells us when we come to know Christ as Savior. So look at this. You talk about a tool. How do I handle 2021? Start here. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. That's my focus. Lord, this is everything is going haywire around me. Lord, I'm going to put my focus on the fact that you know what's going on here and I don't. And then how am I going to treat other people with gentleness? The Lord is near. By the way, I think this is true. How I treat others reflects on where I am at with the Lord. I really believe that. So we have this idea of my focus and my relationships. But where does my strength come from? Look what he says. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything. Notice, always, all men, everything. He doesn't leave anything out. There's no yeah buts. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, the big stuff and the small stuff. Someone once said to me, oh, we don't pray about that. Don't pray about a parking place. Don't pray about losing your keys. Those are, you know, we don't do that. You know, I'm thinking to myself, okay, but listen, to God, everything is small stuff. So I'm praying for keys. That, yeah, in the greater scheme of world domination, that's not much. But the fact of the matter is God cares about everything about us. And the fact of the matter is cancer or keys, it's all small to God. The bottom line is, in a number of different places in Scripture, God, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, I want you to pray to me. He invites us to come into His presence. He commands us, and that's a command, to come into His presence. He says, be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication. My strength, my help comes from the Lord. I like what Psalm 121 says, and I can't. He says, I looked to the hills from whence my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord who what? Anybody know it? He's the maker of heaven and earth. He's not my cousin Leroy who knows how to fix cars. He's the maker of heaven and earth. Lord, help me remember that. Help you remember that. That we're not dealing with some trivial weak person, no matter how much we think of them, we are dealing with the maker of heaven and earth. And he says, Robert, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. My strength and my help comes from the Lord. My strength is from God as I go to Him. And let me say this, the word strength is interesting. The word anxious is interesting because it's an old English word that means to strangle. It means to strangle. I'm not getting air. I'm frustrated. I'm at wit's end. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Pray for everything. There's a verse that really is a verse that is kind of a, I don't know. It says the same thing. It's a sister verse, if you will. And I'll read it to you in 2 Thessalonians 5. Listen to this. He says, in 2 Thessalonians 5:15, he says, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone. Sound familiar? But always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. There's that word again, all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Paul echoed that again in the Thessalonian passage. As I face 2021, I'm not sure how it's going to turn out. I just don't know. But I do know that my focus needs to be on the Lord. And I do know that the way I treat other people needs to be with gentleness. The Lord has called me to be lights in this dark world. And my strength needs to be from the Lord as I pray about everything. And the final point is just this. He promises a level of peace. He promises peace. And He says, you don't understand it, and you can't understand it. But it's peace. It's peace in the midst of a storm. Every story in the Scripture has a storm around it. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ had a storm around it. It was not easy. It was not as hard. It was gut-wrenching. It was emotional. The babies that were killed, oh my goodness. If you're a mom or dad, and it was one of yours. These are gut-wrenching things that took place when Jesus was born. We go through gut-wrenching things now. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And He says this, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard. And the word here is like a guard, like a prison guard, a sentinel guarding what's behind the door. I'm guarding it. He will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Years ago, there was a man named Viktor Frankl, and I'm not sure if he's still alive. I kind of think he's not. He was a Jewish psychologist who spent time in a Nazi concentration camp. He wrote these words: "They stripped me naked. They took everything, my wedding ring, my watch. I stood there, and all of a sudden I realized at that moment that although they could take everything from me, my wife, my family, my possessions, they could not take away my freedom to choose how I was going to respond." Folks, we can choose how we're going to respond. And sometimes we need to take a long walk and pray it through. And then we pray it through, we give it to the Lord, and 10 minutes later, you know what we're doing? Praying and giving it to the Lord again, and that's okay. He's big enough. He already knows how inconsistent we are anyway. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication." Our strength is in Him. Our focus is in Him. Our relationships are on behalf of Him. And in the end, may 2021 be the year, or a year, where you say, "I gave Him the glory. I saw the God thing. I saw God working in ways that blew my mind. I saw God see me through the pain that I have never felt before. But He was walking with me through it." See, 2021 is coming, whether we like it or not. And I'm looking forward to moving out of 2020 anyway. But the bottom line is this: God still desires that we place our focus on Him and we look to Him through all that will happen, good, bad, or other, that we're trusting in Him always. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for our time here today. And Lord, may You be the God of heaven and earth to us. May we not see You as small. Lord, I confess oftentimes, by my actions, I see You as small. And by my actions, I try to do things that I shouldn't be doing and trust me. Lord, we need You. We need You. And Father, I know that there's a lot of pain in this room. There are a lot of people in this room that are either going through difficulties or know people right now that are struggling. I know I do. And Father, we use what You tell us. We pray about everything. We bring them before You. We know that You care. We know that You hear. And we know that You have a plan. And Lord, oftentimes Your plan is not our plan, but part of Your plan, Father, is that we trust You with the plan. And we thank You, Father, and we give You glory to this day. And I thank You so much for this church. And I thank You for the ministry here. And we give You glory in Jesus' name. Amen.